for climate change, 2023 was an unprecedented year. Absolutely, gobsmackingly bananas, and scary, and frightening. And that was what climate scientists said. The UN Secretary General called it a year in which humanity crossed into a new climate era, the age of global boiling. And that's from a story published on Climate Code, read by David Spratt and Ian Dunlop. David Spratt is another of my climate heroes, and although I don't know Ian Dunlop, he certainly appears to be in the same class. Welcome to this latest episode of Climate Conversations. I'm your host, Robert McLean. This podcast is assembled here in Shepparton, in northern Victoria, Australia, on the lands of the Yorta Yorta people. Yes, the stolen lands of the Yorta Yorta people. I pay my respects to elders, past, present and emerging. The story on Climate Code Red has the headline, Humanity's New Era of Global Boiling, Climate's 2023 Annus Horribilis. The story continues. Climate disruption shocked climate scientists in 2023. Surprising, outstanding, staggering, unnerving, bewildering, flabbergasting, disquieting, gobsmacking, shocking, mind-boggling, said Professor Ed Hawkins. When September 2023 exceeded the previous September record by a huge 0.5 degrees Celsius. The decline in Antarctic sea ice extent was much greater than modern predictions, leading the National Snow and Data Center's Wait Mia to explain, "It's so far outside anything we've seen, it's almost mind-blowing." Many records set for the new climate extremes, record heat, rainfall and floods, with some of it driven by the destabilization of the polar jet stream, were hitting record-breaking extremes much sooner than I expected. That's frightening, scary, and concerning. And it really suggests that we're not aware of what's coming as we thought we were, said Sarah Perkins Kirkpatrick of the University of New South Wales. Degrowth Network Australia, which has the wonderful acronym of DNA, was born a year ago at Melbourne's Sustainable Living Festival. For its one-year birthday, DNA is having a workshop, a degrowth degustation entitled Slow Down, Degrow, on Saturday, February 10. The Slow Down, Degrow workshop is part of this year's National Sustainability Festival and will be held at Melbourne's National Trades Hall Council building in Victoria Street. It's perfect for people new to degrowth, explaining the why and the what, and also for those who really want to get into the how we degrow in areas from work to transport, food and more. The organisers say, the climate is in crisis and inequality and isolation are worsening. Now, the growing global degrowth movement is bringing together people working for a very different low-carbon future, one that critiques the sustainability of the so-called green growth. Degrowth is recognised that overshoot of natural limits on the earth and sustainability means that only some parts of our world, economy and lives can continue to grow while others need to degrow. They say every part of our lives, how we work, where we live, what we eat, how we stay healthy, how we get around and what we buy, contributes to the excess that is causing the expanding climactic catastrophe. The workshop, they say, will help people learn about how localized, ecology-centered, democratic communities and the lives of governance we prefer and imagine. Those who attend will find out how people are already bringing degrowth into action and what they can do to help get to the society and economy we need. Over 2 hours, they'll have the best chance to learn, discover, discuss, debate, share and test ideas, organisers say. Sandy and the DNA administration have encouraged people interested and familiar with degrowth to join the workshop. But beyond that, they especially invite people with no previous background in degrowth. You'll find a link to register for the event in the show notes. The Australian-based Vets for Climate Action, which they say is a voice for animals, has a climate care program. Listen to this.
Every day we use a lot of products, like medical and surgical equipment and consumables, chemicals and drugs. The manufacture of these products uses up raw materials, many of which are not renewable. Plastics, for example, are made from oil. Then, when we use and dispose of these products, we generate a lot of waste. In our daily activities, we also use natural resources, such as water. We use energy to run our appliances, to keep us and our patients comfortable, and to operate our equipment. So why is this a problem? Our resources, including water, are limited. By overconsuming, we put ourselves at risk of running short. A build-up of chemicals and waste in the environment causes pollution and damages important natural habitats. Burning of fossil fuels such as coal and gas to produce electricity and the use of oil for transport results in air pollution. It also produces the bulk of the greenhouse gases that are warming the Earth's atmosphere, causing climate change. As vet teams, we add another gas into the atmosphere in the form of inhalational anesthetics. These are both a pollutant and a greenhouse gas. It may not be immediately obvious, but all of these environmental challenges are actually interconnected with climate change at the centre. For example, as well as causing pollution, waste contributes to climate change through the production of greenhouse gases, both from the breakdown of waste in landfill and from the use of fossil fuels in transporting and processing waste. Consumption of natural resources doesn't only deplete our supplies. The use of fossil fuels in extracting, processing, and transporting these resources, and then using these materials to manufacture goods, also results in greenhouse gas emissions, as does the distribution of the finished product to us, the end user. So why is it so important for us as busy veterinary teams to be part of the solution to these complex environmental challenges? The answer is simple. We are guardians of the health and well-being of animals. And threats to the environment, particularly the impacts of climate change, are a threat to animal welfare. Climate change makes weather events more extreme and worsens natural disasters. In the past few years alone, we've seen billions of animals killed or displaced by fire, communities and animals suffering through severe flood and drought, our beloved Great Barrier Reef experiencing repeated bleaching events due to rising ocean temperatures, and our treasured companions struggling with escalating heat waves in cities and towns. For the good of our patients and ourselves, we need to do what we can to take the best possible care of the environment, and particularly to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions to help bring a halt to climate change. The good news is there is plenty that vet teams can do to work more sustainably, and that's what the Climate Care Program is all about. The first module is about water, our most precious life-giving resource. In this module, you'll learn about where water comes from and the impacts of climate change on our water supply. We then show you how you can better understand the way water is used in your practice. Best of all, we give you a range of tips and tricks for making a big difference, from things as simple as turning off the tap while scrubbing and adding aerators to your taps, all the way through to installing a rainwater tank to flush your toilets. We'll even help you celebrate your success. We then move on to waste, and in the animal care industry, we produce a lot of it. In the No Time to Waste module, you'll learn what happens to waste and how this contributes to climate change. We'll step you through how to conduct a waste audit in your practice, identifying different waste streams and what happens to them. Then, to make it easy, we share loads of inspirational ideas, tips and tricks for reducing the amount of waste you send to landfill. We'll also support you in connecting with other professionals and clients to inspire and share your journey and successes. In the next module, Energy Efficiency, you'll learn how our energy use contributes to climate change and the many reasons it pays to become more energy efficient. In your practice, we recommend you start with an energy audit to better understand how and where energy is used. We then discuss different areas where you can implement changes that will reduce your energy consumption, like switching your old lighting to LED. Turning off lights and heating, ventilation, and air conditioning units when they're not needed. And using a hot water urn instead of boiling the kettle every time you want a cuppa. And a whole lot more besides. The energy theme continues with the power of renewables. This module explores how your practice can purchase, produce, store and use energy from renewable sources. You'll learn how you can take advantage of your roof space to maximize the production of cheap solar power. We'll show you how using surplus solar power to charge your electric vehicle is a great way to introduce battery storage into your practice. All of this will save significant amounts of money and make a big reduction in your carbon footprint. You'll discover that a switch to 100% renewable power is the easiest and most significant step you can make towards becoming a carbon neutral vet practice and reducing your contribution to climate change and its effect on animal health. The Buying for a Better Future module is all about how vet practices can use their buying power as a force for good. The scope of the module is broad. You'll learn how to evaluate the environmental impact of products used in different areas of your practice. You'll also learn how to move away from banks and superannuation funds that invest in the fossil fuel industry. And we'll help you to ask veterinary wholesalers and animal health companies to reduce their carbon emissions as well. The aim of this module is to create a mindset change. At the end, we hope you will consider the environmental impact of every product and service, just as you would its price and performance. Among the things you of course need to buy are the pharmaceuticals, anesthetic gases, disinfectants, and other chemicals that are essential for you to perform your role. In the Healthcare Without Harm module, we identify ways that you can continue to use these products to care for your patients and keep your team safe while minimizing climate impacts and contamination of the environment. We found immediate benefits to patient well-being, workplace safety, and even cost savings by adopting the practices explored in this module. We're delighted you've decided to be the climate champion for your practice to help put a healthy world at the centre of our thinking. We know it might seem daunting at first, but the program is here to help. Our aim is to give you the tools to make sustainability easy, fun, and rewarding. In the words of Dr. Jeremy Watson, as vet teams, we are guardians of and advocates for animal health. Being more sustainable is a practical way to reduce our impact on the environment and provides leadership and inspiration to pet owners, farmers, and wildlife carers that we all need to do more. We look forward to helping you get started.
You'll find a link for that program in the show notes. Now we turn to the conversation for a story that has the headline, Extreme Heat Can Be Risky During Pregnancy, How to Look After Yourself and Your Baby. The story begins. As we face the continued effects of climate change, the frequency and intensity of heat waves is increasing. We recently learned 2023 was the hottest year on record. Extreme heat presents a major public health threat. It can be especially dangerous for people are socio-economically disadvantaged, and people who have reduced physiological ability to adapt, such as older adults or those with certain medical conditions. Pregnant people are also more vulnerable, with evidence showing exposure to extreme heat is associated with increased risk for the baby. Now we have a story from ABC News in America that has the headline, "Extreme Wave in Marshall Islands Highlights Dangers of Climate Change, Experts Say."
Now to the extreme wave that slammed into a U.S. base, U.S. Army base in the South Pacific. We're hearing from someone who was there, and Trevor Ault joined us with that. Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning, Michael. So this is on the island of Roi Na Mora in the Marshall Islands. It's halfway between Hawaii and Australia in the West Pacific, and the video is just unbelievable. The force of these extreme waves literally busting down the door.
Keep the door closed. Whoa!
This morning, terrifying and dramatic moments caught on camera as an extreme wave hits a U.S. military base.
All right, you good? You good?
Force of the water so strong it plows right through the glass doors, taking two people with it.
Jake, are you okay?
Others stunned, climbing on tables. And then another wave rushing in, now taking out the windows.
Get out of here!
Pitching them into darkness as the lights go out. It happened at a military base in the Pacific Ocean's Marshall Islands, a tiny nation considered the front lines of climate change as rising sea levels are leading to powerful waves and flooding.
An extreme wave is a wave that is much larger than, say, the average of the waves at a given time. If there are multiple wave sets, then it's possible that the energy can just double in an area from two different sets of waves.
This island houses some of the U.S. Army's most sophisticated space tracking equipment. The Army says at least one-third of the island was flooded after a series of unpredicted giant waves. Minor injuries reported.
This is going to go down in Quadra's history books as one of its most challenging times ever in its 80-year history. We will get through this. And we are settling in for a marathon of recovery ahead.
And about 80 people had to be evacuated from this military base. The Army, though, does say a team of 50 people remains on this island to assess the damage and work to restore power.
You'll find a link for that story in the show notes. And now we have four 90-second stories from Yale Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Federal tax credits can make it cheaper for people to buy electric cars, but not everyone is aware of these incentives.
That information was not getting to the Latino community.
That's Steve Alfaro of Avanza EV, an initiative that was launched to get the word out. Last summer, his team chose two apartment complexes in Maryland where many residents are Latino and low-income. They knocked on doors, set up tables with information, and organized pop-up EV car shows at the apartments. All outreach was done in English and Spanish. The residents were able to see various car models, hear from EV drivers about their experiences, and learn how to take advantage of federal incentives worth up to $7,500.
I was able to bring this information to them. I really enjoyed seeing, you know, their eyes light up when they would realize that this was a real government program. I'm not lying to them. I'm not selling them a vehicle. I'm just bringing the information to them.
Alfaro says buying a car is a big investment, so low-income residents may be slower to switch to EVs. But he says it's critical that they hear about federal tax credits so they can take advantage of those incentives when the time is right for them, and no one is left behind in the transition to electric vehicles. In medical school, students spend long hours poring over textbooks and notes to learn how to care for their future patients. And a growing number of students insist that their education must include climate change. Climate change affects health in many ways, from heat-related illness to the growing spread of mosquito-borne disease.
I think there's a lot of power in the students coming forward, recognizing that this is something we're interested in and that we're not getting.
Kent Boyd is a nursing practice doctoral student at the University of Minnesota, and he's part of the leadership team for the Planetary Health Report Card. It's a global initiative in which students from medical, nursing, and pharmacy programs evaluate their institutions. They review their school's curriculum to assess its coverage of climate and environmental health topics. They also look at the school's research, outreach programs, and campus sustainability. Schools then receive a grade from A to F. At his own school, Boyd and other students are using the report card to advocate for curriculum changes.
Like, this is what you've currently scored. This is how you can make this better.
so future healthcare providers understand the connections between environmental and human health and are prepared to protect both. At the new Climate Action Museum in Chicago, there is no room for doom and gloom. Instead, the exhibit highlights ways to cut carbon pollution and inspiring reasons to do so.
If you're a homeowner, we have a list for you. If you own a car, we've got suggestions, et cetera, et cetera. So this idea that everyone has agency of some sort and probably may not have thought about it.
Doug Farr is one of the museum's co-founders and an architect who specializes in sustainable design.
It's my day job. It's my passion. So the Climate Action Museum is very much an extension of my firm's work.
As a result, much of the museum focuses on how to reduce carbon pollution from buildings. It provides visitors with ideas for making their homes more energy efficient, and it encourages them to swap out cooktops, hot water heaters, and other equipment that runs on fossil fuels with electric appliances that can be powered with clean energy. Another exhibit highlights the environmental, social, and health benefits of living in walkable communities that are not dependent on cars. Farr says he hopes the museum helps move people from what he calls a hazy sense of defeat to optimism that
lots of people are taking action, and actually there's a lot we can be doing, and I'm excited to be part of it.
Well, I'm not gonna say goodbye. I won't see you on the other side.
This past year, world-famous cellist Yo-Yo Ma partnered with indigenous singer-songwriter Quinn Christofferson and environmentalist drag queen vocalist Patty Gonia. The three went to Alaska, where Christofferson is from, to film a music video on rocky terrain in front of glaciers that are crumbling.
When we were there, we were just listening to this glacier calve and watching it. It's just falling into the ocean right in front of our eyes.
Against this stark backdrop, emblematic of the climate crisis, the unlikely trio performed Won't Give Up, an anthem of hope and commitment to keep fighting to protect the Earth.
I won't give up.
The song is rooted in joy and optimism, which Patty Gonia says is essential for sustaining climate activism.
It's actually really powerful to not give up. When the world wants you to stop and to quit, what's possible if we keep going?
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Now we have a story from Climate Home News. It has the headline, U.S. Government Pauses New Gas Export Terminals in Historic Win for Climate. The story begins. The U.S. government is halting decisions over further expanding its gas export until it can apply updated climate considerations to projects seeking new approvals. Announcing the move on Friday morning, President Joe Biden said the pause on all pending export permits for liquefied natural gas, LNG, sees the climate crisis for what it is, the existential threat of our time. The decision comes after Biden faced mounting pressure from environmentalists and climate activists to apply the brakes on the U.S. buildup of fossil fuel capacity. The groups represent an important voter base for Biden as he seeks re-election in November. Yes, we've reached the end of this episode of Climate Conversations. Thanks so much for your company. It was great to have you along. Now, don't forget to check out the show notes because my screen is still alive with stories about the climate crisis. So go there, read them, think about them, and see what action you can take to help slow the climate crisis. Now, I'd love to hear from you what you think about this podcast. Good or bad, please let me know. And you can contact me at r.mclean7@icloud.com. And now I've got another request. Please share this with your friends. It's important we do that because everyone needs to know all they possibly can about the climate crisis. Yes, it's an existential threat, and we need to treat it as such, and we need to get ready. And people need to know what's happening. So please share this. Also, please follow this podcast because if you do that, you'll be alerted every time I publish a new episode. So until we talk again, please take care, stay safe, and please be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. Now please stay safe and take care.